Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the entire program today as we have another great song for you, and we are continuing with our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. And we'll get to all of that in a moment, but I want to ask you to do me a favor. While the music is playing, pick up the phone, call someone you know, invite them to tune in the program. Tell them where you are listening on the dial or on the internet, and I'm sure you and they will be blessed for your efforts. Well, right now, we're going to hear Somebody Cares, and then Dr. Green.
Now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, direct us as we study today. I pray, Father, that Thou wilt speak to my heart, speak through these lips of clay to those who listen in the great unseen radio audience. Father, I cannot see the congregation that is tuned to this station now. I do not know who is there. I do not know the need. But dear God, Thou dost know the need, and I pray that You'll speak to my heart and speak through these lips of clay. To those who listen, save the lost, reclaim the backslidden, revive the indifferent, strengthen the weak, get glory to Thy name. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Yesterday I read Acts 2 down through verse 21. I'm reading verse 21 again today. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the key verse in the book of Acts, the key that unlocks the book, is Acts 1:8. We read, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, beloved, in the Old Testament economy, under the Mosaic system, not all were invited. Now, what do I mean by that? Israel, the nation, was the elect of God, the apple of God's eye, God's chosen people. Now, when Jesus came, He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, no one denies that. And when He sent His disciples, He sent them to the lost sheep. Now when the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, he said it's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. But now Peter tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now on the day of Pentecost, the message was delivered in the language of every nation on the face of the earth at that time. They heard the gospel in their own tongue, in their own language. And of course, they went back to their home, went back to their people, and told them what they heard on the day of Pentecost. Now, in this day of grace, in this day, the dispensation of the Holy Ghost that began on the day of Pentecost and will continue up to the rapture, and when the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit will go out with the church. Now, he will operate, yes, he will operate on the earth after the rapture, but he will not be here to remain as he is today. Now, in the Old Testament economy, he came and he went. That is, he came down to earth and he went back to heaven. But since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been in the world. He has not departed and he will not depart until the rapture. Then the Holy Spirit will go out with the bride that he has called out for the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this day, whosoever, the Jew, the Gentile, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Indians, and it doesn't make any difference, the Russians, and the French, and the Germans, and whosoever will, anyone, everyone, regardless of their nationality, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless, beloved, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Now then, Peter directs his message to Israel. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Now notice, he does not say the Son of God. He says Jesus of Nazareth. Now, beloved, the one thing that the Jews refused to accept, the one thing that they refused to believe, was that Jesus was God in flesh. They believed that he was Jesus, but they believed that he was just an extraordinary man. Most of them, of course, some of them believed that he was an illegitimate, but many of the people believed that he was a prophet, an unusual man, but they did not and they would not accept him as God's Messiah, God in flesh, the virgin-born, eternal Son of God. They would not. So, Peter, of course, the Holy Ghost is speaking through Peter. The Holy Ghost is uttering these words through the mouth and through the lips of Peter. And so he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Jesus is his earthly name. And, of course, he was reared in Nazareth in the carpenter's shop. Joseph, his foster father. Joseph, the husband of Mary, lived in Nazareth, and Jesus was reared in Nazareth. Now notice, a man. He doesn't say the Son of God. He doesn't say God the Son. And he doesn't say God in flesh. He says Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Now they believed he was a man. They knew that he was an extraordinary man. They knew that he did things, and he was certainly like no other man that they had ever seen. So Peter appeals to them at first. Of course, later on, I'll show you how step by step. You know, you can't drive people, beloved. You can't take a stick and drive people into the kingdom of God. You can't force people to be saved. You have to lead them. Peter is gently leading Israel to the point, that is the crowd, the mass on that day. He's leading them to the point where they will accept him, or again, they will reject him even further. Now read on. A man, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Now, beloved, there's no need to argue one point. You know and I know that when a man walks up to a grave where a man's been dead 4 days, and the sisters beg that the stone not be disturbed because they said he's been dead 4 days, he stinketh. Now, in that day, they didn't embalm people. And in that day, brother, when a man died in the morning, they buried him that afternoon. If he died at night, they buried him the first thing the next morning. And so Lazarus was buried without being embalmed, and he'd been dead 4 days, and Martha and Mary begged them not to take the stone away, but Jesus said, "Roll the stone away." And he walked up to the grave, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And a man who'd been dead 4 days walked out of the grave alive. And brother, Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And they saw it, and they witnessed it, and they knew it. And then, of course, they saw him. They were there when he fed 5,000. They saw the lepers that were cleansed, and they saw the blind men whose eyes were open. And so Peter reminds them that Jesus of Nazareth was a man, but he was a man approved of God, and he did things that only God Almighty could do, such as raise the dead. And you know, they confessed, "Never man spake like this man." And then on one occasion, when his enemies accused him of having a demon, one of them asked, "Can a man with a demon open the eyes of the blind, or a man born blind?" In John 9, they said, "Can a man with a demon open the eyes of one born blind?" Now, let me say this, beloved. Today, we have men who call themselves atheists, freethinkers, infidels, and agnostics, and so forth. Listen, any person who will accept the Bible as a historical fact concerning a man, now listen, I'm trying to reason with you. If you believe the history of the Bible, that is, if you believe a man like Jesus lived, and if you believe that this Bible was written about a man that lived, if you believe he ever existed, Jesus, if you believe that he ever was, if you'll sit down and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read those four books with an open mind, an open heart, read them slowly, and analyze the words, anybody that'll do it, I'll guarantee you the Word of God will convict them and they'll be saved. They will. I'll guarantee you that anybody. Now listen, if you read them with preconceived ideas and if you have your mind made up and you say, I'm not going to believe it. But you know and I know there were scores of witnesses. And after his resurrection, there were 500 that saw him. 500 that saw him. Don't you know, beloved, that 500 men could not tell the same lie. Don't you know that? 500 men might lie, but it certainly wouldn't be identical. And Paul said 500 saw him at one time after he rose again. Now, what I'm saying is this. There is no excuse for unbelief. There was no excuse in the days when Jesus walked upon the face of this earth, and there is no excuse now. Any person that will read the Bible with an open heart and an open mind and let the Word of God speak, and keep your ideas out of it, and just let the Word of God talk to you, I'll guarantee you, your heart will be crushed, your heart will be broken, and you'll be saved. So Peter said, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man that God approved, yes, sir, among you, how? Miracles, wonders, signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all." You know it. You saw it. You know it. Now in verse 23, him, that is Jesus of Nazareth, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. All right, now, let's call the mob. Let's call the Gentiles to the stand. And let's call the servants of the high priest to the stand. And let's see if we can find some witnesses that'll tell us what happened the night Judas Iscariot went to the Garden of Gethsemane, walked up to Jesus, put a kiss on his cheek, and they arrested him. Let's see what happened. All right? They came to the garden. John tells us that they came with the soldiers and with the servants, and they came with clubs and torches, and they came to arrest Jesus. All right? Now, when they arrived in the garden, what happened? Did he run? Did he hide? Did they search for him? Did they take their torches and their lamps and search in the olive trees until they found him? No. They walked in the garden, and Jesus walked right out and met them and said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am." Now in the Greek, the "he" is not there. Jesus simply said, "I am." And every Israelite, every person that knew anything at all about the law and about the books of Moses, and they did, brother, they knew. Don't you think they didn't? They knew. And they had studied the law of Moses. They had read the scroll and they knew it. And every one of them knew who I am is. Now, I've turned back to John 18. I wanted to see if I was right. And I am right because I certainly didn't want to say anything that was wrong. Now, Jesus said in verse 4, "Whom seek ye?" This is John 18:4. "They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth." Well, I see that's the same name that Peter gives him here in the verse that I'm reading. I pointed out a moment ago when I read it. Peter didn't say God the Son or the Son of God. He said Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Jesus of Nazareth. So back here in John 18, when they said, when Jesus said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, "I am. I am." And as soon as he said it, soon as he said, "I am," they went backward and they fell to the ground. Then asked he again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said the second time, "Jesus of Nazareth." Now, I've gone back there to read that to show you, beloved, that here is a man named Jesus of Nazareth. He was Jesus and he lived in Nazareth. And everybody in that country knew about him, and hundreds of people witnessed his miracles. And that night, scores of soldiers and servants in the Garden of Gethsemane, they fell down backward. All Jesus did was say, "I am." That's all, "I am." And they fell backward. They flattened out. Now listen, don't you know that while they were flat on their backs, amazed and no doubt terrified, don't you know that Jesus and his disciples could have escaped? Don't you know they could have run, they could have gotten away, but they didn't. Finally, they rose up again, I'm sure. They stood up and Jesus said the second time, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Well, that time he said, "Just take me and let these others go." Now, anybody that has any common sense knows that a man that can speak two words and flatten out people on the ground with swords and clubs and sticks, don't you know that a man that could speak two words and flatten out a gang like that on the ground, don't you know that those people know that he's not an ordinary man? But in spite of it all, with wicked hands, they arrested him, they carried him, they literally forced him to go. Of course, he went willingly, but they arrested him and they carried him to Annas and then to Caiaphas and then to Pilate, and they condemned him. They said he ought to die. He's a malefactor. He made himself the Son of God. He's an illegitimate. He's an impostor. He ought to die. And Pilate said, "You take him and crucify him. I find no fault in him." Three times in John 18 and in John 19, three times Pilate said, "I find no fault in Jesus." Now, here it is. Now, watch this. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now, they did know at that time, and we know today, that if it had not been God's will, and if God had not permitted it, they could have never taken Jesus that night. They could have never taken him out of the Garden of Gethsemane if it had not been God's will. Now, listen. Before God ever made this world, before God ever made one grain of sand or one bit of dust or one bit of dirt, before God created anything that was created, God sat down with the Son and the Holy Ghost, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, in the eternity behind us, and they planned and perfected salvation. And so far as the Godhead is concerned, they finished it, because everything was planned and everything was in order when Jesus came into this world, even before the world was made. Now, they took him because God allowed it. God allowed it. God permitted it. It was foreordained. It was predetermined. And in the foreknowledge of God, they took him and they demanded his death and they crucified him. Now, in verse 24, we read, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now that verse of scripture means this. God raised him up because it was impossible for death to hold him. Now when Jesus said in the garden, on the cross rather, "It is finished," it was finished. Somebody says, "Well, preacher, was it really finished until he came back from the dead?" Well, you see, it was not possible for death to hold him. Now when Jesus went to Calvary and when he was nailed to the cross and when he finally said, "It is finished, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and literally gave his life back to God the Father. He gave up the ghost and passed his life back to God. It was finished, because when he died, it was impossible. It was a divine impossibility for death to hold him. And so, as David said, he would come back, and he did. "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he," that is Jesus of Nazareth, "that he should be holden of it." Death could not keep him because he came to destroy him that had the power of death, Hebrews 2:14, 15, and following. Jesus came to destroy him, the devil, that had the power of death, and he destroyed him. He conquered the world, the flesh, the devil, death, hell, and the grave, and he sits today at the right hand of the majesty to make intercession for you and me. Now in verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Now watch it. My flesh shall rest in hope. Now, not my spirit, beloved. Not my spirit. Not my soul, my flesh. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I won't have time today, and I don't want to start it, because my time for the message is too near gone. I don't want to begin anything so deep and so important. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, many people are confused, and many people wonder what on earth that verse of Scripture means, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Now, these verses, David here is speaking of the Lord Jesus. Now, tomorrow, we're going to discuss these verses, and I'm going to tell you and show you and prove to you from the Bible exactly what the Bible means when it says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. But in the 2 minutes I have left to talk to you today in the message, I want to ask you this. Now, these precious people, back when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, they did not recognize him. They did not receive him. They rejected him. And they said, away with him, we'll not have him. His own people, he came into his own received him not. But worse, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So Jesus was rejected of men, and he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He laid his life down that we might have life. He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed. Now, Peter points out to Israel that Jesus of Nazareth, a man, but a man approved of God, and God put his approval upon him through miracles and signs and wonders, and they were performed right before the eyes of the Israelites, but they rejected him. Now, God raised him. God delivered him. God permitted them to take him and to crucify him, but God raised him from the dead, because it was not possible that death should hold him. Now listen very carefully, that if thou, I don't care what your name is, I don't care what your name is, and I don't care what your nationality may be, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that's Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you'll confess that Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. You want to be saved? Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him with your mouth, and God will save you for Jesus' sake. Father, honor thy word, the precious blood, and save every soul that's under conviction, especially that soul that's nearest hell. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and before we close today, I'm excited to tell you about our new gift offer starting this week, Gift Offer B. Now, if you listen to the program, you know that over the past several weeks, we had our Gift Offer A containing 5 books by my dad, and it went so well, we at the office discussed it and decided to put together a similar offer for the next couple of weeks, and we call it Gift Offer B. This one also contains 5 books, but they are books by great men of God that my dad admired and enjoyed reading after, and these 5 books, he decided he liked them so much, he had them reprinted. They were all, of course, out of print and out of copyright. So he had them reprinted so that you and I could enjoy them and learn from them also. Now, all five of these books are available to you if you simply ask for offer B and send the donation to the ministry in the amount of $5 or more. But if you can send a donation of at least $5 and ask for offer B, I'm going to send you first a book by Dwight L. Moody entitled Thou Fool. Now, it contains 12 messages in all, and it has a short biographical sketch of Dr. Moody and his life, 215 pages long. Then we have the Olivet Discourse. Now, this is a discussion, of course, of Matthew chapters 24 and 25. It's by A.C. Gabelline, another great man of God. Then we have Plain Papers on the Holy Spirit, a very deep study of the Holy Spirit by Dr. C.I. Schofield, who put the notes in our Schofield Reference Bible. Now, it's only 80 pages long, but a great book. Then Night Scenes of the Bible by F.E. March. 12 chapters, different night scenes in the Bible. Finally, According to Promise by Charles H. Spurgeon. Everybody knows who he is. So, to get all five of these books, just ask for Gift Offer B and send your gift of at least $5. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.